So the Amorites is a murmuring, criticism, and judgmental spirit. Wow. That's the one he said will ruin you. That's the one he said, you don't get rid of that one first, it'll let everybody else in. You don't deal with that one first, you're going to have trouble the rest of your life. There's not a person in the world that hasn't dealt with this spirit. This is the real killer. It's the church killer. It's the family killer. It's the marriage killer. It's the friendship killer. It's the relationship killer. Murmuring, complaining, negativity. It's a spirit. Here's the other thing you need to understand about this. Out of all of the ones that Jesus mentioned, this is the only one he said this about. And I put this on the screens because I don't want you to think I'm making it up. Genesis 15 and 16 is the verse. Here it is. All right, listen to this. But in the fourth generation, they shall return here, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. This is the only one of the seven nations that will haunt your family for four generations if you don't kill it. This is a generational curse that'll get on those babies you love and those grandbabies you love and those great-grandbabies you love and those great-great-great-grandbabies you haven't even met yet. This spirit will visit them. This is one you have to kill. And some of you, some of us recognize, oh, wow, my parents did that, and now I'm doing that. My grandma did that, and my parents do that. Oh, my goodness, if I don't stop it, it keeps living in all my family. So this is this murmuring, this complaining, this criticism, this judgmental spirit. Words have power. They can throw a nation into chaos. They can start a war. They can sentence someone to life in prison. They can command an army. They can elect a politician, and they can lead a nation. But here's the problem with this Amorite spirit. It was an arrogant nation, and get this, this is important. It had become the largest nation in all the Canaan land. This was the big one. You don't bring down the Amorites, you're still in trouble. As long as there's a gossip, there can always be a war. As long as there's a rumor, there can always be trouble. As long as there's a critic, there can always be a problem. He said you've got to deal with this complaining spirit. So the Bible gives us some scriptures about this. And I don't even try to say amen during this one. I don't even expect it, and I'm not even going to say it myself, because this one hits us all. I get it. Psalm 34 and 13. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Can we read that one out loud together? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. I want you to look at Numbers 11 and 1. Now when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. Wow. Now when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, for the Lord heard it, and his anger was aroused. So the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some in the outskirts of the camp. Aren't you glad he's still not doing that? I mean, we'd be having a barbecue here tonight. I mean, if God was still setting butts on fire that gossip, I mean, there'd be a few empty seats. And guys, we found out these clever ways to do it in the church. Help me pray about this. I don't want to tell anybody but you. And then they don't tell anybody but them. And then they don't tell anybody but them. But I think the church has been really deceived by using prayer. And that might be, that's probably something God's going to judge real harshly when you use prayer as a way to strow a rumor. I just got my little prayer group praying about this when you don't even have the facts. And what you're praying is wrong, and you're actually praying a lie. And when you got a little prayer group praying a lie, everybody in the group is guilty. The Amorite spirit. We found ways in the church to, to handle this. I can't talk to anybody about this, but I can talk to you. Now, that's okay if that's true. But then if they can't talk to anybody else but you, and then can't talk to anybody else, but before you know it, they're talking to everybody. I was in a deacon board meeting one time years ago, and one of my deacons raised their hand and said, Pastor B, he said, we got a problem. He said, everybody in the church is saying this. I said, really? I haven't heard that. Another deacon said, yep, it's true. I've heard the same thing. Everybody in the church is saying this. And it was about the music and or something like that. It always is. And oh, I can give you the list. It's always the same. It hasn't changed since the time of Korah. Anyway, they were talking about this. And the three deacons, and I said, okay, guys, I want to know who told you that. Oh, we told them we wouldn't. I said, nope. Either you're leaving the deacon board right now because this is a room of trust, or you're going to tell me who told you. I said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a pass. I want to let you write it down, slide it across the table. They all three slid across the table. It was the same name. And I read the name out loud and exposed the person. I said, the church is not talking about this. Russ is talking about this. And he's dead, so I'll just go ahead and call him out. Russ is talking about this. I don't know where he's at, but I'm telling you what, he talked to a lot of deacons. But his whole life he talked to a lot of deacons. And I said, no, this is Russ trying to manipulate the board by lobbying the deacon board so that you can get to me so he can get his way. Wow. An Amorite spirit. Words have destroyed nations. They have destroyed families. They have destroyed ministries. They have destroyed reputations. They have destroyed good people's lives. They have disrupted so many things because people said things they shouldn't be saying. All right. So we're gonna have a quick prayer, and I want everybody to pray it with me. We're going to pray a scripture. And then I'm going to close this sermon out here in a little bit. All right, so let's go to this prayer. Here's the prayer. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the doors of my lips. All right, so I want everybody to raise your hand. We're going to pray this prayer together, and I hope you mean it because I mean it too. Let's pray it together. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Let's pray it one more time. Set a guard, over my mouth, and keep watch over the door of my lips. Go ahead and put the next one up there. The next verse says this. Do not incline my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men who work iniquity, and do not let me eat of their delicacies.
Thank you so much for supporting our ministry. If this has blessed you, please say a prayer for us. And if you would like to give, we have four ways that you can do that. You can give online at briancutshaw.com, or if you're a PayPal user, just PayPal us at Church Trainer. Or you can also give through the mail at P.O. Box 267, Georgetown, Tennessee 37336. Or if you're a Venmo user, you can Venmo us also at Church Trainer. Thank you, and God bless you, and may the Lord multiply your seed. Now back to Hope in the Word.
The Jebusites. So the Jebusites was about control. The root of the word means to trodden down or trample down. So it's people who use all kinds of things to get in control. But the root of control is selfishness. Now this is something I've said 40 years in ministry. I used to say boil down, but I think I can use a better word now. If you can reduce sin to its smallest component at the bottom of every sin, you will find selfishness. Somebody tell me why Satan got kicked out of heaven. I will. Selfishness. Satan got kicked out of heaven because of selfishness. It is the root of all sin. Now, before you point fingers, everybody deals with it. There's only one that has ever conquered it. when he said on the cross, not my will, but thine be done. Father, I commit my hand in yours. He's the only one that conquered it. Every disciple dealt with it. And by the way, that Amorite spirit, it was all in the 12. So don't feel too guilty. I mean, they had all kinds of issues between the 12 disciples and Paul and John Mark. I mean, it's real. It's a real warfare. So it's not just you. It's what Christians deal with who want to live in victory. So the root of this is selfishness. Selfishness serves self and then others. It uses people, it manipulates and controls to get their own way. All right, so let's go to the final parts of the sermon. Here's the problem. These are not just nations that they were dealing with in Israel. These are still issues we deal with today. We still deal with money, fear, unholy alliances. We still deal with self-security. We still deal with instability. We still deal with criticism. We still deal with control issues. If you don't believe that this is what our world is dealing with today, listen to this passage about the time that was spoken of, that what we're living in today. But know this, then the last days, perilous times will come. How many of you think we're living in perilous times? Would you like to know what those days look like? Listen to this. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who crept into houses and made captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by lust. Get this. This verse 7 is really interesting to me. Go to verse 7. Always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Wow. Is that not the world we're living in today? Full of knowledge and know everything but the truth. Why? Because they serve these other gods. A world filled with knowledge but not coming to the knowledge of the truth. Here's how we end tonight. Who's on the Lord's side? Choose you this day who you will serve. We deal with the kingdoms of darkness. Will we serve the kingdoms of darkness or will we serve the kingdom of light? Kingdom of darkness looks like this. I serve money. I serve fear. I serve unholy alliances, self-security, instability, criticism, control. The kingdom of light looks like this. It's the opposite of that. I practice generosity. I have trust. I want kingdom connections. I believe in dependence on God. I am committed, not unstable. I have grace in my speech. And I love other people around me. I have love one for another. So we have to draw a line in the sand. We have to get to a place that we have drawn the line and say, I will not serve two masters. I want this to hit everybody the way this has hit me, because this sermon was very convicting for me. I might be the one preaching it, but I've had to do a lot of praying because the Lord gave me this sermon. It's His sermon, not mine. We can't serve two masters. I can have one foot and one world and one or the other. I can't shout and dance and praise God in one day and then have filthy language coming out of my mouth the next day. I can't lay around with whoever I want to and then go to church and hop up and down and shout in the aisles. I just can't do that. We can't live with one foot in sin and one foot in the church. Hebrews says that a time is coming that the voice of then who shook the earth, now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shall shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. Now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things which shall be shaken, as of the things that are made, and the things that cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Here's where we are, folks. The kingdom is rising. And the world is falling. Show them that dove, if you will, Jonathan. I want you to see this. This is where we are. I don't know if you know what that is, but that's the actual doomsday clock. That's where we are on the doomsday clock. And I don't want to get into that. That's a pretty scary thing. But that's the actual, I went today, this is where they say we are on the doomsday clock. 90 seconds is what they're giving us, all right? Till what they're saying doom did. That just shows us, and these are scientists doing this. Scientists saying this is how much time they're giving us for the possibilities of destroying our own planet, destroying our own selves. That's not a Christian thing, by the way. The doomsday clock is not from Christians, it's from scientists. So that's the doomsday clock on one side, and over here is the fire of the Holy Ghost on the other side. And what you need to understand is we're in a season right now where kingdoms are going to be falling, where the nations of this world are going to be falling, and the kingdom of God is going to start rising. Whether you want it or not, there's going to be a separation from the sheep and the goat. Whether we realize it or not, God is about to call in his remnant. God is about to call in those who are serious about serving God. The glory of the Lord is about to visit this world in a mighty revival before the rapture of the church. I believe it with all of my heart. Why? Because we are in a showdown between good and evil right now. We're in it. In this nation, it's not just this nation, it's every nation. We're in a showdown between good and evil. It's good versus evil right now. And what I think is going to happen is this world, this young group is going to get so tired of politics. In Indonesia, they are seeing tens of thousands of Muslims coming to Christianity every single day in Indonesia. Indonesia is the largest Muslim country in the world. And you know why these young people in their 20s are coming to Christianity? They're saying, we are tired of hate. We are tired of fighting. We are tired of killing. We are tired of a hate message. We want a message of love. We want to come to a Father's house. We want to come to a place that loves us. We want to come to Abba. We want to come to the one who wraps his arms around us and cares for us. And by the groves, thousands and thousands of Muslims are leaving the Muslim faith because of hate and flocking to the church. I think the same thing is going to happen. You let this country keep messing itself up with our politicians and with our economy. You let this country keep messing itself up, and I tell you, it's going to create a vacuum, and in that vacuum, the Holy Spirit and fire is going to show up. In that vacuum, the power of God is going to sweep down over this earth. It's going to fill up coliseums and gymnasiums and churches and houses of worship. The glory of God will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. It's being set up right now. As the kingdoms fall, this kingdom will rise. Those things that can be shaken will be shaken. So I leave you with this final word from the book of Isaiah. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, but deep darkness in the people, but the Lord will rise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Yes, this world is getting darker, but the kingdom is getting lighter. Yes, the kingdoms of this world are failing, but the kingdom of our God is rising.
This program is brought to you by the partners of Brian Cutshaw and Church Trainer Ministries. Please help us pray that the Lord will continue to send us more partners so we can expand his kingdom around the world.